Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. For this morning's text and meditation, I'd like to have us turn to the book of Acts, and from the first chapter, reading the first 12 verses. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And the words are as follows in the name of the Lord. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Amen. The life of Jesus was part of a beginning. We think of it that it was ending, but it was beginning. This book of Acts has been written by Luke. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, and as he introduces this, he talks about the former treaties have I made, which is the Gospel of Luke, or Theophilus, the same man as Luke identifies him, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Luke was with him when he was teaching and performing his miracles and making it evident that he truly was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had come to bring redemption to all people. Comparing the Lord Jesus Christ to Moses, Moses also was a great leader of the people, but he too was not allowed to cross the River Jordan. David, who was a great man of God, God was leading him. He was a servant of God during his time. But yet God did not allow him to build a temple. He couldn't finish these things. But here, the spiritual kingdom that was to come was not truly established until after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. 30 years the Lord Jesus lived on this earth. He spent it being prepared for 3 years of work. And he was taken away. He was taken away by a violent death. He was put to death on the cross. And we could say that, well, Jesus could not complete his ministry. For even on his last day, as he was teaching and speaking to his disciples, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. It's very true. Even we know it's true in our lives when the end comes. And it can come very suddenly. We want to stay We want to complete the task that we have started. But we need to leave it. There is no other alternative. Leave it as even Christ did. And to be assured that God will complete the work when it's according to His will. And that work will continue on. Luke tells us, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. When Jesus was beginning his public ministry, we could say, he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. John baptized him, and as he was baptizing, the dove came down upon him, which was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Certainly Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but this was the beginning of his ministry, and this was a special gift for the ministry that was before him, that God gave him the power and to continue on. And so it is with us also. It's a picture for us that we too can be born again and still receive the Spirit for our special gift for the work that is before us. It's right to recognize that the Holy Spirit has been given and it stays with us. It's a permanent dwelling place within us. But we can pray to Him also as we journey in this life that He would give us the Holy Spirit to carry us through a special need. So it's like we have a song that I believe Sunday school kids and others that we have in the book is, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. The Spirit of the Living God that leads us and keeps us faithful and gives us power to come on, to go on. Third verse says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a historical fact, and it can be proved that it occurred. There are many who saw him, and who saw him also after he had risen again. He showed himself at least 13 times to his disciples during that 40 days that he was there in their midst after his death. In the book of Corinthians, Paul writes in the 15th chapter, he lists some of them, where Jesus had shown himself to those in Jerusalem, others he had shown himself in Galilee, others on the Mount of Olivet, some were on the shores, others were in the mountains, some by voice, they heard his voice, some recognized him, others they saw and recognized him by the crucifixion marks, even as Thomas, the doubting Thomas. Some were on the road to Damascus and they shared food with him. And then they recognized him. And all of the apostles saw the signs and saw the miracles that he did. The power that he had. The apostles that were journeying with him. Thomas, who was doubting, but he also received assurance that Jesus was truly alive. He says, my Lord and my God. Peter, John, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he said he was seen by 500 disciples. He showed himself to women. They were on their way to the grave to prepare his body, and he showed himself there. But then we ask, well, what further teachings did Jesus do during these 40 days that he was there? Well, he continued the same teaching that he had done before. We heard, as Isaac read in the book of Luke, the final words of Jesus. Jesus says unto them in verse 44 of the 24th chapter, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, which he did, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that was the commission that they were to do. And you are witnesses of these things. And he also promises to send the Holy Spirit then. I send the promise of my Father on you, tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then he went as far as Bethany. He blessed them, and as he was blessing them, he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. Carried up into heaven, into the very presence of his Father. We read in verse 4 and 5, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus always desired to set the Father, his Father, before the minds of the disciples. Wait for the promise of the Father. Jesus Christ says that the gift of God, or the Spirit, was the Father's gift. The gift of God was the Holy Spirit that was given. And it was given to them for the sake of Christ. What was the function of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's function was to reveal Jesus. And it is the Holy Spirit that shows us what Christ has done for us, and the life that he has given to us, the life that is worth giving, and to serve him. It was for the sake of Christ. And he says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He reminds them that this was predicted by John the Baptist himself. And he confirms the word of his servants. John tells us, or actually it's recorded for us in the book of Matthew, where John tells us in the third chapter of Matthew, verse 11, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He shall make the real baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, John's baptism did its work when John was there, and he did that which the Lord had wanted him to do. But it was after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension on the day of Pentecost when his words were confirmed. The apostles received the Holy Spirit when they believed on the day of Pentecost, and we find it recorded for us in the second chapter of the book of Acts. There were 3,000 people who were converted, who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then later it talks about 5,000 men who received the Holy Spirit in the fourth chapter of Acts. And thus the New Testament church was born. And it continues and will continue until Jesus Christ comes again the second time, which he will. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That was the question. And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That was a question that they asked the Lord Jesus. Now when Jesus was alive and he was performing his miracles with them, they were convinced that he could restore the earthly kingdom of Israel. The earthly kingdom that would overthrow the Roman rule of them in their lives when they are under the rule, but it didn't. For certainly the miracles that he was performing, he could certainly overthrow the government and so forth. But now, here they saw him. He was with a new body, new resurrected body. He was showing himself unto them. Why not? Why couldn't he restore and be the ruler? Why couldn't he be the ruler there? But they were mistaken. Will you at this time restore again the kingdom of to Israel? They were mistaken. They did not understand. This is not what he had come to do. It was just too much for them. And I think we need to understand that we wouldn't have reacted any differently than they had we been there. And we need to also remember that there are some things that we're not meant to know. So often we make up stories about things that we only can see, and we try and convince other people that it's so. But it's not meant for us to know. And it seems like these are the events or things that we really speculate about and disagree on and decide. And some are designed to keep us awake. And this is for the whole church. For example, the second coming. When is Jesus coming again? We have many individuals that have attempted to set dates, going back hundreds of years and even today. When is he coming? We say we know the time, we know the events. Certainly he's coming, and he is coming again. But Jesus says here, as he has said before, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's in the Father's hand, Father's care, and he has put it in his own power. This knowledge belongs to the Father and to him alone. But Jesus does promise them, in verse 8, you shall receive power. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's his promise. And when we ask, we shall receive. We shall receive power. He says we shall receive power. In the book of Luke, he tells us to, Luke has recorded that if we ask him for the Holy Spirit, he will give that to us. He will give power so that we can serve other people. He gives us power that we can live a separated holy life and we can overcome sin. Apostle Peter writes in his epistle, in the first book of Peter, in the second chapter, verses 11 and 12, when he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest, that means your life, amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. And the day of visitation is when Jesus is visiting and he visits us. We all have a day of visitation when he is close to us and calling us. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of the evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. We obey the laws of the land and those that are ruling over us. And then he also says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. This is the exhortation given to those early Christians that were converted and Peter was ministering to them. And so it is true even for us today. They would have enough power from on high to do this work that he calls. For when he calls us, he wants us to be witnesses. And the chief witness is that we are servant of Christ. And witness him and proclaim him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Preach his gospel, the good news, repentance and forgiveness through the whole world. And when he calls us to do that, he gives us power to do this work. Verse 9 and 10. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. There were two angels who said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus ascends. And as I mentioned, this Thursday we celebrate Ascension Day. Gospel of Mark tells us that the Lord was received up into heaven, where he sat at the right hand of the right hand of God. Now Luke tells us that Jesus blesses them, as we read earlier in the scripture reading. And while he was blessing them, his word was carried up, or he was carried up into heaven. Jesus didn't die away. Wasn't buried. We cannot find him in any grave like other religious leaders and the rest of us. But he was raised up into heaven. But he was still speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that was left on this earth, the kingdom of God that's function was to draw all people unto itself and to proclaim the Lord Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was unusual. Here it says when he was speaking these things, and then he was taken up. He went up. And while he was taken up, he was still speaking of these things, and the cloud received him out of their sight. Cloud received him. And beyond the cloud, we only see by faith, by the eyes of faith, and he is at the right hand of God with all authority given unto him. And this doctrinal truth was given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that not only was he ascended, but he is coming again. This same Jesus, as he was taken up, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He is coming again. And that is our hope. We don't know the day or the hour, but he is coming again. This same Jesus is coming again in a glorious body, without sin, for he also was without sin in this life. But he is coming with a new body. He's going to descend with a shout and a trump of God. And we need to be awake for this coming. Even as Paul writes to the Thessalonian Christians, he said, "The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." We shall be with Him. And all of this was fulfilled in our behalf. For our scripture tells us that God did not send His Son to destroy the world, but through Him we might be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the hope, this is the promise that we have received. And this is what gives us power to continue on. We don't worship a dead Christ, but we worship Him as a living Christ, who sees all, knows all, and is all powerful even today. In spite of what is happening around us, when it seems like everything is topsy-turvy, but we can look to Him who has established His kingdom, and that kingdom will be until He comes again and claims His own to be with Him. And even as Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, he says, "Comfort and encourage us. Comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming, and we shall see Him. If not on that day when He comes again, we shall see Him earlier, when God calls us home, one after another, and we certainly all will go someday." May God's Word be with us, God's Spirit engulf us and give us power and hope of life eternal. In Christ's name, Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the gift of life that we have received and the gift of eternal life through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us life and calls us to follow Him in spirit and in truth, and giving us power to conquer all. And if we don't have it, to ask of Him, He will give to those who ask. He asks us to seek, we shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto us. Bless and keep us faithful to You and to Your holy name. O Lord, bless us and keep us. Make Your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift Your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.